Well, the big races are going to be the obviously the mayoral races, the contested ones that are in Holyoke, East Hampton, Agawam. However, there's also a lot of action going on in the city council races. There's open seats on the school committee as well in Springfield. So there's actually a lot going on tomorrow beyond just the headlines. Sometimes people forget about the lower level races, but that's with so many open seats and changes, there's going to be some big things to watch.
Let's talk about these one at a time. Anything look big? Let's take Holyoke, where Alex Morse, the incumbent, is running for re-election. And this is also, we should point out, the first time that the mayor in Holyoke will be elected to a 4-year term. Because of a charter change that was approved in the last municipal election, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And how do you see that race shaping up?
Well, you know, I mean, on the one hand, Jason Ferreira, a former city councilor in Holyoke, has probably run one of the, I hesitate to use the word least negative. It was a normally negative campaign that you'd expect. You know, there wasn't the same level of, I've used the word apoplexy to describe the way previous opponents of Morse have run against him. The race has been fairly civil, fairly cordial. There's been some flare-ups here and there, but nothing that's really out of the ordinary. The problem is Ferreira doesn't have a whole lot of money. I think his base is primarily a lot of, you know, or not his base, but the largest segment of his voters are just people that dislike the mayor. And, you know, the last few times has shown that that's just not enough. I don't know that that Morse is in any real danger tomorrow.
Is there any one big issue that's standing out in Holyoke? I mean, there's still a lot of reverberation from the fatal fire last January 1st and the finger pointing that followed that over the occasional closing of a firehouse, what's known as a brownout.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest issues because the you know, the Holyoke Firefighters Union has continued to beat that drum. I mean, they had issues with it well before the fire itself, but it's hard to know whether or not the staffing levels really had anything to do with it. There was a fire marshal's report that I believe that seemed to indicate that, you know, it was an internal error with the building's alarm, not with any, you know, responsiveness on the part of the fire department itself. There has also been lately a little bit of a flare-up about campaign contributions. It's a little bit of a strange thing that people are suddenly talking about. The developer of a marijuana facility in Holyoke has given to a lot of candidates in that city, but you know, this kind of thing happens, frankly, all the time, and you know, this does seem to be a little bit of selective outrage on the part of Morse opponents and the opponents of other people that have received contributions.
And there's nothing to suggest that any of these contributions are illegal.
No, in fact, there are people out there who are, frankly, misrepresenting it as a contribution to something other than their campaign committee. I won't name names, but people have used the word bribe, which is an incorrect and a false accusation, which is based on nothing other than what is a fairly standard practice of campaign contributions.
There are a couple of communities where there are open mayoral seats tomorrow, Agawam and East Hampton. The East Hampton one was a bit of a surprise when Karen Cato announced that she was not going to run, and now you've got two first-time candidates trying to be elected mayor in East Hampton.
Well, I mean, I think that that race is kind of interesting. It's kind of broken down a little bit on, you know, Democratic fault lines. It's not exactly that. I believe Winnie, Joy Winnie, who is one of the other candidates, you know, she has a lot of connections to to East Hampton politics, served in government there. Nicole LaChapelle is a big political player in the Massachusetts Democratic Party and to some extent nationally. So, you know, you're seeing a little bit of fault lines. I don't know how much that's actually reflected in the candidates themselves, but you're seeing a little bit in their supporters, you know, who was with who last year in the Democratic primary. I don't want to suggest that that's all that it's about, but that's definitely a fault line.
And in Agawam, Richard Cohen, the longtime incumbent, announced that he's not running, and that's left an open seat there with a retired school superintendent of challenging the current president of the Yaghamam City Council.
Right. Yeah. That race has kind of been interesting. Jim Jacchetti has kind of considered running for things before and then not, and then you have Cipelli, who was a school superintendent. But there's also a lot of I feel like what's lost in this part of this race is how big it's going to be just with the fact that Cohen has is leaving entirely. I mean, he's running for a seat on the city council, and name recognition being as important as it is for these kind of races, probably has a good shot. Dan Napick did the same thing in Westfield 2 years ago, but it's definitely a big change in Agawam, which for whoever wins is going to have the opportunity to reshape the city for the first time seriously, except for a brief absence that Cohen had a few years ago when he didn't win re-election.
And in the city of Springfield, no mayoral race this year because we're in the middle of Mayor Dominic Sarno's four-year term. But we do have some open seats which have garnered a lot of interest at large in the city council.
Right. For the first time in about 25 years, there are two open seats at large, and that covers a period when the city council was all at large. This is a huge changeover with whoever gets elected this time. Unless one of the candidates, Tim Ryan, who did previously serve, wins, you will have nobody on the council except for Councillor Kateri Walsh, who predates ward representation, which is a pretty stunning change when you think about it. You know, it was only 8 years ago that began, but now, in January, it's possible that, really only one person was serving on the council previous to ward representation. That makes a huge difference in terms of perspective and everything else. As far as the candidates themselves, Jesse Lederman and Tim Ryan came in on the top five in the preliminary. They're probably favored tomorrow, but the candidates are working really hard. Tracy Whitfield was a newcomer who came in sixth. Kelly Moriarty Finn has been in a lot of places. I think those are probably the people you'd watch for a surge potentially in the top five tomorrow.
You mentioned the ward representation. All of the incumbent city councilors from the wards are the original ones originally elected after the ward representation
that are contested,
came.
Yeah.
Do we expect any surprises there? I believe half the wards are contested. The other half, the incumbents are not facing challengers. Correct.
That's right. 2, 3, 4, and 6 have challenges. It looks like for the councilors Michael Fenton and Ken Shea in 2 and 6 respectively are probably okay without any problem. I think Ward 3 Councilor Melvin Edwards will be 2, but he is in a very low turnout ward, so just a few votes can make a difference. Ward 4, I also expect E. Henry Twiggs to win re-election, but he had he did not have a majority of the vote in the preliminary in September, so it will be worth watching how the vote turns out there and whether or not his challenger is able to take him on seriously.